If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learnt from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the gifts that have been given this morning. But Father, we thank you for the gift that you've put on Jim's heart, Lord, to share with us this morning. We pray for that, just that fresh anointing of your Spirit upon him, upon his words, upon his heart, Lord, that they may flow and, Lord, touch and change lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
God's love is magnificent, isn't it? Isn't it wonderful that we can just soak in God's love and respond back to God and just know his arms around us and how much he loves us and cares for us? It's magnificent. And of course, we've had those wonderful Bible passages all about God's love. And when I had the privilege of sharing with you a few weeks back, we looked at the idea of both hearing and responding to God's word and why it was so important. And we looked at why it's so important to respond to God's love, to Jesus' death upon the cross, that we come to faith. And then we moved on and said we need to respond to growing in God's love, to stay rooted. And of course, the picture there is the vine and the fruit that's produced. And we said it's important that as we go on in the Christian faith, we yield up the areas of hardness, the hard ground. We yield unto him so that we can produce a yield of fruit, that we will produce fruit in our lives as we stay rooted in Christ. And then towards the end of the passage, this magnificent statement: this is my command, love each other. And to say, well, why does that really matter? Why is it important that we just don't hear it, but we need to respond back to that word as well? And we said, well, of course, it's about a witness to the world. A world that's in division longs to see a church that has not only got it together with God, but is together. A church that's in unity. And of course, unity is the place where God bestows his blessings. And we concluded our thoughts by saying, actually, to love each other is essential if a church wants to move in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So therefore, this morning I've added on that verse from 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. You see, today, yes, it's about responding to God's word, but it's this section that says, what happens if I get it wrong? When a church starts to move more in the prophetic, it makes it quite interesting when you speak, because other people have said half the things you want to. Like our prayers this morning about getting it wrong. The truth is, we will get it wrong. We do get it wrong. It's not a case of if we get it wrong. We will get it wrong. We will get it wrong. I often think when there's an induction service or somebody starts a new ministry within the church, the first thing they should do is to stand up and apologize and say, I'm sorry, I'm going to let you down, I'm going to get it wrong. Because they aren't going to do that. They're not going to mean to, they're not going to have a bad heart about it, but they're going to disappoint, they're going to let you down. And maybe the church should rise and stand and say, Pastor, we're sorry, because we're not going to support you as much as we should. We're not going to love you as much as we should. We're sorry for not responding, for not following your lead. We will get things wrong. But just because we get things wrong, it shouldn't put us off doing those things. When there's a toddler, when the toddler's learning to walk and falls down, we don't say, oh, no more of that walking then, you keep falling over. We don't do that, do we? We pick them up, we dust them down, we give them a cuddle, we reassure them, we love them, and we let them try again, and we encourage them forward to grow, to become mature, to become strong. And all through our lives, it's about learning. We learn new things, new skills. And as a learner, we get things wrong. And actually, we learn through doing things wrong. Now, I have to say, with spiritual gifts, they are given to us in embryonic form. Whatever gift that may be, including the gift of prophecy, to move in the prophetic, we get the gift in embryonic form. And we make mistakes. What's the church to do? Slap. We won't have that anymore. No. It's to love that person, to love one another, to encourage one another, that we grow up into maturity. Thank God he's not finished with us yet. He's got so much more work to do. He has with me, that's 100% sure. But he is the author and perfecter of our faith. See, it's all about him. It's not about our gifting. It's not about our church. It's all about him. We are his story. We are his story. And we are simply writing implements in the hand of God. What sort of writing implements are we? We are pencils. We are pencils. And pencils have rubbers on the end because pencils make mistakes. We are pencils. We will make mistakes. Here's the great thing. The lead in our pencils is not gifting, it is love. If I said nothing else today, that would be it. The lead in our pencils is not gifting, it is love. To move in the things of God, whatever ministry, whatever gift, we need to understand the big two things of God, grace and love. We will make mistakes. I hope we make mistakes. If you don't make a mistake, you're probably dead. If you don't make a mistake, you will die soon because you're not trying anything new. We will make mistakes. Hallelujah! Grace from God. We can be forgiven. We move on. We learn. We grow. We also need love. Yes, God's love, but God's love in us to give out to others. We need the love of other people within the body, within the church. We need to love others, and we need to be loved. So I'm going to focus on prophecy in the local church. But this is applicable to all sorts of ministry and all sorts of gifts. And you may say, well, why are you picking on prophecy? I'm picking on prophecy because that is the word for this church at this time. This church needs to hear this word at this time. Follow the way of love. Oh, and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. It's a little bit different for me this morning, and I was really nervous in the first service, and I couldn't quite understand why, and I still don't. The truth is, I'm not preaching this morning, and I really enjoy preaching. I like the freedom and, you know, get on with it, and I can, you know, chase whatever bunny rabbits God puts out there, and I can follow them around. But I'm not doing that this morning. I'm actually going to teach. One of the ways you can tell the difference between me preaching and teaching, teaching's boring. No, one of the ways you can tell is I have loads and loads of notes when I'm teaching. If I'm preaching, I'll have half a page of notes and I can do what I want. When I'm teaching, I really try and stick to them and try not to deviate. And I honestly believe God wants me to try and teach this message this morning. So here we go. To minister in grace, we must receive a grace. To share in love, we must continually share in God's love. We can only give what we first received. Clearly, this is true for both the prophetic message and the messenger. It is for this reason that we need to minister from a healed heart. Any gift that we would have is simply treasure in an earthen vessel. Or as Paul says, we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. In that sense, we never minister out of a spiritual vacuum. We are influenced by our experiences of life. For example, if we have any unresolved rejection or frustration, it's likely that any prophetic word would be contaminated by these impurities. People who move in the prophetic are indeed very likely candidates for rejection and frustration, which is why accountability in the way of love is so important. Therefore, we need to deal with frustration and rejection. And to deal with them means to repent of wrong attitudes, even when others have hurt us. Do you want to be a channel and a vessel of God's blessing to others? I do. But then all of the hurts and the cracks need to be healed, because it's in those cracks that the germs of frustration and rejection grow. Remember, we are called to correctly handle the word of truth. That's in God's word, and it's the word he puts within our hearts. The word then is the treasure within, but the prophet needs to be aware of his or her feet of clay. See, I'm sticking to my script. I've chosen these words ever so carefully because I think they're important. God has an agenda for the use of all spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. As with our reading, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. Now, often in the life of a church, we start seeking the prophetic gift, and of course, we do need God's word in our lives. But that's something like asking for water without first providing a glass. Of course, we need more of God's love in our lives and our churches. Sometimes we can think there is a lack of the prophetic and other spiritual gifts. But you know what? The greatest need is for an abundance of God's love. Before we can correctly move in the prophetic as individuals or as churches, we need that glass container and security of God's love. Do I want to be used prophetically? Do I want to follow that injunction and eagerly desire spiritual gifts? Will I eagerly desire the gift of prophecy? Well, first then, we must be those who love others. Do you want to bring a prophetic word to this church? Well, then firstly, you must love this church. Do you want to bring a prophetic word for the pastor? First of all, you must love the pastor. You see, without love, the prophetic simply becomes a dangerous thing and is more like an old clanging cymbal, and it doesn't give a clear note that is sounded from God's heart. How wise, how brilliant of God. The Bible is magnificent. To proceed the teaching on prophecy from 1 Corinthians 14 with the instruction on love in 1 Corinthians 13. Love then is like the oil that allows the mechanisms of prophecy to move. Without love, prophecy can grate and it produces more heat than it does light. And this only results in a ceasing up and eventual breaking down of the prophetic. God allows for our mistakes. Love allows for our mistakes. Love forgives. As Paul says, love is patient, love is kind. Love does not envy, it does not boast. Love is not proud, love is not rude, love is not self-seeking, love is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Ah, the word of God. That's the love we should follow as we eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. To move in the prophetic, we must move in and be covered by love. We must follow the way of love. If we do not love, we would soon be judgmental and hard. Prophets do make mistakes. Of course they do. We all make mistakes in whatever ministry. We all make mistakes. God's word does not make mistakes, for that is his work. However, you and I are fallible. For simply, we know in part and we prophesy in part, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 9. And now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror, but then heaven we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then in heaven I shall know fully, even as I am known, 1 Corinthians 13, 12. In God's prophetic agenda, we must first love each other as a prerequisite to ministering in the prophetic. As Christians, of course, we love to receive words of encouragement, prophetic words from God. And of course, we must all be open to receive from God in whatever manner he chooses to communicate with us. However, our desire shouldn't be simply to receive encouragement, to receive prophetic words, but we should be those who are eager to prophesy. We should gather together with an expectation of hearing God and being open to the different ways God will speak to us through somebody's constructed prayer, through something that's just said, through a picture, through a prophetic word. Yes, of course, through a sermon, through some teaching, through the Bible reading. But we must also be those who gather together where we say, God, make me an instrument of your blessing this morning. God, speak to me. God, pour your love into me that I can share that with somebody else. God, use me to bless somebody this morning. Sometimes Christians will say that they long to hear something from God. They want some reassurance. We should come saying, God, if there is somebody here who needs that word, maybe it's a physical tap on the shoulder, but the word, a prophetic word, a picture, a verse, an encouragement. God, give it to me. Not because I'm special, but because I know I'm just an old clay pot with clay feet. But I know your treasure within, if it works out, will be a blessing and will edify and will encourage and will build up. Our desire then must not only to receive prophecy, but to be eager to prophesy. Have you asked God for that gift specifically? I believe there is the biblical injunction right there. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. We ask for that gift. Not for ourselves, but to build up the church. Praise God that he is the God of revelation, communication, and relationship. At the very heart of God is relationship. That's the Trinity. Let us love deeply so that we're in the right relationship with God and with each other. In our love relationship with God, he always reveals his purposes and communicates with us, his people. Are you ready? Because of your relationship with Jesus, to be part of his communication process. Be eager to prophesy. Learn to develop a burden for God's heart. Have a burden for God's heart to be revealed and for his will to be done. Expect God to use you in this way. Will it be perfect? No. Will it be patchy? Yes. Will it develop? Yes. Will we become more sensitive to the Holy Spirit? Yes. The greatest athletes, I'm not going to mention rugby, the greatest athletes were once toddlers. People who can run the fastest mile, 100 metres, the length of a rugby pitch. They started by falling over. But they developed, they were encouraged, they grew, they learned, they were loved, and they got there. If you are open to God, he will use you in this way. Come to God and to God's people with a heart to both give and receive. You are blessed to be a blessing to others. So follow the way of love and eagerly desire to prophesy. I suggest that a good Christian maxim would be, do unto others as God does unto you. In other words, our initial understanding of how to prophesy should be underpinned by our own experience of the way that God's word speaks to us. I find that whenever God speaks to me, I'm shown two things: a diagnosis and a prognosis. A diagnosis and a prognosis. When God's word comes into our lives, it always identifies the problems that we have. Often that problem may be sin that requires repentance, or it may be identifying some wrong expectations or wrong attitudes. But praise God that his word does more than that. You see, often it may well be easier to identify the problem rather than the solution. However, when God speaks, he never just points out the problem, i.e., you're in a hole, i.e. the diagnosis, but he offers his hand to us to show us the way out. That is prognosis. For God always shows us the way forward, the way out, whatever our situation may be. Therefore, if diagnosis and prognosis are part of God's word to us, then they should be part of any prophecy that we bring. If prophecy were just a diagnosis, then it could result in condemnation. Well, you're in a hole. And it's only Satan that condemns Christians. God brings conviction, which in turn leads to repentance and the way out. Now, when God gives a picture to us or some prophetic utterance, it may not be the full story. I always think the most beautiful thing is when somebody brings half a prophecy and then somebody else brings something else, and someone brings up, and it all somehow gets put together. It all gets drawn together. And the strength of that, in my opinion, is you don't end up giving a mini sermon. And that's the trouble when preachers prophesy. Sometimes they try and round the edges too much. So you get a start, a middle, and an end. Do you understand what I'm saying? Where when we give a prophecy, we go, okay, if it doesn't quite all fit in, just give it. Because somebody else may have the other bit. And that also allows for a right sense of testing. And you can hear it. And it also gives confidence as things come together. What happens if you make a mistake? Get over it. God loves you. If we love one another, We will allow for mistakes, and we will grow for the glory of God. The word, including the prophetic, brings both diagnosis and prognosis for the strengthening, encouragement, and comfort of both individuals and the church. That's why prophecy is given. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3. But everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. That's why we need to prophesy, to build up the church. What else then can we learn? What else do we know from the way God speaks to us? I think if we recall any time when we know God has spoken to us, by whatever means, we can normally see it contains a number of different elements. There's normally something in there that opens up our situation, that like gets to us, points to us. There's something that shows us God's heart for us in it all. And there's something that will show us how to respond back to God's word. You see, a prophetic word is something that's there to sort of grow into. It's not some sort of fatalistic, you know, lucky charm sort of business. But he shows us how to respond to move forward. Think for a moment of the story of Jesus and the Samaritan woman at the well when she's drawing water. I'm not going to go into that story now, but you see in that transaction, actually, Jesus engages with her. And technically, if you take those verses apart, and you can do that in the Bible study, you'll see there is sort of a word of knowledge in there about the woman, about her husband or not having a husband, or how many husbands she's got. There's a prophetic word in there, what's she actually looking for, ordinary water or living water. And there's this option, this way, how to get out of it all. But what I want to focus on regarding Jesus speaking to the woman at the well is simply this. When you prophesy to somebody, when you prophesy in church, there is often this gap between what you actually have in front of you and the ideal. Okay? We're all called to an ideal. We're called to, if you want, entire sanctification, to be completely holy. I don't think anybody's there yet, because I think that's a process we get when we knock on the door and Peter lets us in. Okay? We just go through. We go through. None of us are made totally perfect. It's a process that we go through. So there's this tension between who I am now, what I'm called to be, and the fact that I'm getting there. Okay? And when Jesus talks to the Samaritan woman, and he knew her story, and the words were for her, to encourage her, so she could see who Jesus was, that she saw her need, that she could recognize who he was, and then move forward into a place where she was made whole, not looking for some substitute love, but to find the real love in God. Jesus could easily have judged her. I wonder what we would have done in that situation. And when we prophesy, when we share things, we're in this in-between world. We're prophesying into something that we're seeing in front of us, but it always has this future dynamic. We're prophesying into the actual, actually where it's at, but we're looking to this place of the ideal. Let me explain this a little more. I think there's a real tension between this idea of ideal and actual. And in the life of a local church, we often deal with people who are called to be ideal, but are still in the actual. Okay, they're not there yet. I'm not there yet. Which means God still has more work to do. Hallelujah. God hasn't given up on us. And to reveal God's heart is to see people as God sees them, which includes this future dimension. So often we only see people in the present, albeit with some possibilities. You see, when we prophesy, we must avoid prophesying through our own eyes of what we see now. or we could soon be dealing in negativity and with a judgmental spirit. Prophecy has that future element, which means we must avoid falling between the gap of the ideal and the actual. And to do so, we stand on the bridge of grace and love. After all, how does God deal with me? Am I all I should be or could be? No. But God is still at work. God has made space for grace to be at work in us. So therefore, we must always make prophetic space for grace to operate in others. Remember, do unto others as God does unto you. If we fall or jump off of the bridge of grace and love, we end up swimming in the seas of judgment and negativity. And this is, of course, the opposite to why prophecy was given. Remember, the gift of prophecy is given to strengthen, encourage, and comfort. It's a ministry that's there to build up, not knock down. We already know that we must live our lives in accordance with God's revealed will in the Bible and in relationship with the living word, Jesus. The prophetic word presupposes our obedience and alignment with the written and living words. It is not a shortcut to avoid obedience and discipline, but rather it comes as an encouragement to keep going, to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. It comes to strengthen us so that we may hold on ever more tightly and lovingly to Jesus on the Christian discipleship pathway. Prophetic encouragement is vital, so that we may complete the long haul of the discipleship journey. It is not fatalism, and it only functions correctly as we walk along the pathway paved by the written word and when we are hand in hand with Jesus, the living word, who gave us a new command: love each other. He is the author and perfecter of our faith. We are his writing instruments. We are pencils with a rubber on the end, because we will make mistakes. But remember, the lead in our pencil is not our gifting, but love.